You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We've been discussing Governor Newsom's May revision to the upcoming state budget, showing an estimated shortfall of $12 billion. The revision is an update on the governor's proposed budget from January and lays out his priorities and cuts that he would like to make. State lawmakers have 1 month to pass a balanced budget. So we just heard from the California Budget and Policy Center. Now I want to bring in Wayne Weingarten. He's a senior fellow at the Pacific Research Institute. It's a California-based free market think tank. Welcome, Wayne.
Thanks so much, Vicky, for having me.
So you actually had anticipated that there would be a weaker fiscal position in a post that you wrote on PRI, the Pacific Research Institute, last month back in April. What stands out to you today about the May revise that the governor released this morning?
What actually stands out to me is he hasn't actually taken on the root causes of the problem. Undoubtedly, Trump's tariffs are very dunderheaded. You know, they're not helpful. They're bringing down growth in the economy. But our problem with the budget is actually state created. We have the fifth highest tax burden of any state in the country. Right? It's 80% larger than Florida's. And in fact, in Florida, they have better student outcomes in terms of reading and writing and science. Their roads are ranked to be higher quality. They don't have the homelessness problem that we have here. So we're spending an incredible amount of money, and we're getting very little kind of in quality public services out of that.
Right. Well, California has a pretty volatile tax system. It is largely fueled by the highest earners in the state, and the biggest reduction in state revenues from January to now are because of capital gains. How should the governor and the legislature approach tax revenue this year?
Well, I mean, ideally, what we'll be looking at is fundamental tax reform. That's really not going to address kind of the current crisis. But the revenue volatility, the governor seems to assume that this is an inevitable kind of just it has to happen. Revenues have to be volatile. But it's in fact, it's our policies that create that excessive volatility. It's the progressivity of the tax structure that kind of amplifies all of these types of just typical cyclical movements. And so long term, you know, we absolutely need to address that. In terms of the current crisis, though, we need to focus on spending, we're talking about a $322 billion budget. It's grown over 50% since Governor Newsom has been in office. So we're talking about a tremendous increase in the size of government, and it's grown faster than kind of the incomes of Californians. And in fact, what we've seen is if you go back several years, while employment in the U.S. continued to grow, in California, our employment has been stagnating. It was interesting, in the press conference, the governor pointed out that GDP in the last quarter was growing faster in California compared to overall U.S. And that's completely true. But if you go for a longer kind of perspective, go back to when Governor Newsom took office, overall, our economy has expanded less. So the long-term trend is we're seeing growth in our state stagnate. We're seeing employment growth stagnate. We're seeing what's called net domestic migration, which is people who choose to live in California. And more people are choosing to move out of California than to move into the state. Now, when you count international migration and you count births, overall population may be growing, but you don't choose to be born. So when people choose where to live, they're choosing to leave California. All of these kind of indications are showing that California is the best state in the country, but we have problems and people are choosing to leave California precisely because of those problems.
Mm. Well, aside from these root causes that from your perspective that you're laying out, with this new administration, with President Trump, could you anticipate, I guess, the federal impact to California, given this new administration?
Well, certainly you can anticipate that all of the volatility, the tariffs, the reduction in port, imports, that's all very negative for the economy. It's negative for the national economy. It's negative for our economy. And so that is undoubtedly a problem, and it's something that we have to manage. But it's not the root cause. And I think that's the problem. When the governor is pointing at that, he's using that as an excuse in terms of trying to cover up this longer term kind of problem. But if you think about it in terms of we've been spending our credit cards to the max, right? If you think about it in that terms, so that when volatility comes, we're particularly susceptible to all of the negative consequences. And so I think that's the more appropriate way of looking at it, that undoubtedly the tariffs are bad policy and the tariffs are harming the economy. And, you know, ideally we'd get some certainty and they would come back to the pre-trade war issues. But this is the environment that we're in. And the best we can do is to start getting our fiscal house in order. And that we've been spending way too much money for way too long. We have way too volatile of a tax system. And all of these problems have been kind of with us and festering for many years. And you can see that, again, if you look at the employment data, you look at the GDP data, we've been stagnating relative to the rest of the country for a while now. And it's going to get worse if we don't actually start addressing kind of some of our longer term structural problems.
So how would you advise the governor and the state legislature over the next month or so?
And what I would advise is we need to start budgeting based on not what our intentions are, but what the reality is. Right? Look at there's a lot of money we're spending on global climate change issues, and global climate change is incredibly important, you know, and addressing it is important. But the EV charging stations and electric vehicle mandates, you know, we're increasing costs. We're making the state the affordability in the state less. And we're not actually impacting kind of anything meaningful in terms of addressing global climate change. So we're spending billions of dollars to make life more unaffordable for Californians. Let's stop spending that money. Right? Let's stop giving tax credits for electric vehicles to the rich, right? Which is, again, a budget issue for ourselves. And again, all we're doing is subsidizing people that, you know, making actually the spending more regressive in that way. So I would look at those programs. I would look at the expansion of Medicaid, and it's undoubtedly, you know, the intentions are good. But the bottom line is Medicaid should not be 33% of the population should not be on Medicaid. Medicaid is supposed to be a safety net, helping people kind of transition and be able to move on to the private market. So I think the fact that a third of our population is on Medicaid is an indication that something is wrong and that we need to address that. And we shouldn't be expanding Medicaid to address to serve undocumented kind of immigrants because it's just unaffordable. I mean, I understand the intention, but
they contribute to the economy.
Well, absolutely, they contribute to the economy, and we should be having more immigration, undoubtedly. But to offer Medicaid benefits to them, especially Medicaid free of charge, that's an obligation on the population that we just simply can't afford.
I want to move a little bit to what's happening in Washington, because there's still ongoing uncertainty. How would you advise passing a balanced budget, given that there are billions of dollars in funding from Washington in limbo and potentially disappearing?
Yeah, what we need to do is we need to work on the information that we know. That uncertainty, the processes are happening in real time. And so we can't predict what was going to happen out of D.C. So I think what we need to do is, one, work on getting our fiscal house in order, as I talked about, look for real substantive spending cuts. And then we're going to have to respond to see what happens out of Washington, D.C., and respond appropriately at that time. To predict what's going to happen, there's just too many possibilities. So, you know, we have our budget process. We need to have a balanced budget by June. Let's get that done, ideally through even greater fiscal discipline than what we're looking at. And then come the fall, we will have to revisit issues as we get more clarity from D.C.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. And if you're just joining us, I'm speaking with Wayne Weingarten. He's a senior fellow at the Pacific Research Institute, which is a California-based free market think tank. And we've been talking about the May revise with the governor just unveiled this morning. And if you're listening right now, Insight is live at noon. We do re-air at 7 p.m. Wayne, what is the Pacific Research Institute's intended goal and hope and involvement in policy as lawmakers are now going to try to hash out a balanced budget?
I mean, what we really are trying to promote is free market policies to enhance prosperity in California, as well as, you know, in the broader U.S. economy. And so if we look at kind of the policies in the past that have generated kind of the higher incomes, the broad-based growth that we've seen in wider prosperity, you know, that's ultimately our goal. So we look at tax policy, spending policy, we look at education, healthcare, environmental policy, all of it's trying to address kind of all of these pressing issues through free market responses.
The governor, you know, said that they want to keep the commitment to TK through 14 education, not just K through 12, now TK through 14. What's your view on that in public education and the investment in that, as well as, you know, some of the cuts that may take place because of this shortfall?
Yeah, I think when you look at California's kind of performance, if you go to the nation's report card, we're actually failing relative to most other states. And so I think what we actually need is more innovation in the classroom. We need more school choice, more things that can not measure success by how much money we're spending, which is what we're doing now, but we need to start measuring success based on outcomes. And on that front, we're actually doing very poorly. And so we need to get more innovative thinking. And there's a lot of great charter schools out there that are doing innovative experimentation. And we need to get more of that out there and empower parents more to actually encourage those types of programs that are going to increase our outcomes. And like I said, I think the one fault that we have, not just in education, but across the budget, is we keep judging our kind of our success based on how much money we're spending. Same thing with homelessness. We talk about, oh, we've spent $24 billion over the past 6 years. Yes, but the homelessness crisis is getting worse. So that we're actually not spending that money wisely. And I think that's the common theme that when we look at the budget, we consistently see is that we're judging ourselves by how much we're spending, not how much we're gaining. And you wouldn't do that in your private life. And it doesn't make any sense to do that in the public life either.
Well, recently, the governor has become more hardline when it comes to spending on homelessness and housing, wanting more accountability from local governments. Do you think the tide is turning on that?
I think so. I think when he's making those statements, obviously, I'd like to see more of that. I think there's a lot of innovative groups, temporary housing solutions, private organizations that are doing fantastic jobs addressing the homelessness issue. And so I think there's a lot more that we can be done. But I do think the tide is turning. I think we're beginning to recognize that the housing first approach is expensive and we're actually not helping people transition off of the streets. You know, when we spent $24 billion on housing first, and yet we now have 187,000 people living on the streets. And I think, you know, that's just unacceptable for them and it's unacceptable for the community. So I think there are a lot of innovative programs out there that we should be experimenting with and see if we can get better results. Mm-hmm.
Leading up to this May revise, we have had a few conversations when it comes to Prop 36, and that was overwhelmingly approved by California voters. It was a ballot measure in November to increase penalties for drug and theft-related crimes. However, it also opens the door to dismiss some felony offenses if an individual completes treatment. Local governments, county behavioral health departments, have said this didn't come with funding. Do you think that the state legislature should carve out some funding for Prop 36?
Yeah, I think what the state legislature needs to do is a complete reorg of how we're spending that homeless money so that if we get away from housing first, then that will open up resources that we could be then spending on different types of homelessness courts, getting people into treatment, and so that we could actually invest those resources where they work. Temporary housing solutions, for instance, where you instead of spending, $500,000-$600,000 per single unit, you could be spending $50,000 for a temporary housing, and that includes the cost of wraparound services. So, and there's different Dignity Moves and several other types of private organizations that are doing a fantastic job, you know, working that solution. And that also, again, opens up resources so that the local communities have the money to invest in the treatment centers and other types of kind of solutions that address those root causes, right? if addiction and mental health is a root cause of the homelessness, we need to help people with those problems.
In the last minute or so that we have, is there anything encouraging that you see within this May revise? I mean, it's important to take a critical look, but any silver lining in there?
I think the silver lining, talk about Medicaid expansion, Medi-Cal expansion, the governor's recognizing that there's some unaffordability with respect to that program. I think that in itself is very important. I think the idea that we're not looking towards revenue increases, recognizing that this needs to be done on the spending side, I think that's a silver lining. Now, in my view, there's too much fund shifting, budget gimmicks, things of that nature, but looking towards spending and that concept, that's the way we need to address this problem because it is, in fact, a spending problem. So I do see things moving towards that perspective. And if we can get there, that we can actually really address this sustainably. So not only do we solve this year's budget crisis, but we don't have one next year.
Yeah, I mean, looking to the future, I mean, this isn't the first time you've joined us to talk about the state budget. This has been something that you have known in-depthly and have offered your perspective for years now. I know you don't have a crystal ball, but do you think that this is going to be more of the same in the upcoming fiscal years for the state?
That's my fear. My fear is because by doing the budget gimmicks and the fund shifts, we still have all of this excessive spending. And so if the economy continues to go through a rough patch, and in fact, if we do, some people are worried about recession. If we were to hit a recession this year, well, then revenues are not going to be strong. And we'll be having the same conversation next year because we haven't actually brought expenditures down to what would be an affordable level. And we need to ask ourselves that question, right? When we talk about a budget from a household perspective, you know what your salary is and you budget to that salary. When we're budgeting it for the state government, we're just really making a wish list and we don't really have those hard constraints. And so that's what we really need is prioritization and spending the money on the things that are most important.
As an economist, do you think we're headed towards a recession?
I worry about it. Absolutely. I think the reprieves that we've seen with the China tariffs and things of that nature is positive, and hopefully that will build on itself. But we've done a lot of uncertainty has been brought into the environment. We've created a lot of volatility, and 10% tariffs across the board are going to increase costs for consumers. It's going to increase costs for manufacturing, for other businesses, and so we'll have to see how that gets swallowed up. But into the economy, but there are certainly a lot of risks out there.
Wayne, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thanks so much for having me.
Wayne Weingarten is a senior fellow at the Pacific Research Institute. It is a California-based free market think tank, and we've been talking about the May revise, which is projecting a $12 billion budget shortfall. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.